There's a story told of a man visiting the Grand Canyon, and he disobeyed the signs and got too close to the edge and fell. And as he was falling, he caught a tree limb just hanging on. And as he was hanging there, he said, "Is there anybody up there? Is there anybody up there?" And a voice, a low, calm voice, said, "Yes, I'm up here. What do you need?" He said, I fell off the side of the canyon, and I'm hanging here on this limb, and I need somebody to help me." And the voice said, do you believe in me?" "Yes, I believe in you." The voice said again, "Do you have strong faith in me and that I can help you?" "Yes, I have strong faith in you." And the voice said, "Well, just turn her loose. It'll be okay." And the man said, "Is there anybody else up there?" We want to talk about faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." Without faith, it is impossible to please him. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." If this verse is true, and I believe that it is, faith is an absolute requirement. It's not an option. It's not an option. It is a requirement. It is impossible to please God without faith. If I come to God, I must believe in him. So faith is very, very important. So it is very important that I understand what faith is. It is very important that I understand what biblical Christian faith is, because it is an absolute requirement. And the book of James says that even the demons believe and shudder. So I want to make sure I understand what's the difference in just head belief or easy believism, or just say, "Yeah, I think Jesus lived," and really having Christian faith. So we're going to talk about today, what is the difference? What is the difference? What does it mean to have faith? What does that mean? It's not an option. It is important. And so I need to understand what it means. Hebrews 11:1 gives us the Bible definition. Hebrews 11:1 gives us the Bible definition. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So, faith goes beyond what I can see. Faith goes beyond facts. I like to say faith never goes against facts, but it does go beyond facts. Faith is based on facts, but it goes beyond facts. It goes beyond what I can absolutely prove in the sense of I can show you for sure. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want to talk about the three aspects of faith. And I list them on the overhead. They're just conviction, commitment, and conduct. Conviction, commitment, and conduct. And I believe all three of these involved in biblical faith. I believe all three of these are involved in biblical faith. Sometimes the Bible emphasizes one of them, and sometimes it emphasizes another one of them. But all three are always involved. So I want to show you some scriptures that emphasizes different aspects of faith. And we need to understand what faith is, because faith is very, very important. Genesis 15:6 that I mentioned in our devotional period was when God first came to Abraham and promised him a son. And the Bible says, "Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." He believed in the Lord. He believed what the Lord said. God said, "You're going to have a son." He was too old to have a son. His wife was too old to have a son. In fact, his wife could not have a child when she was young. And now she was too old, and he said, "You're going to have a son." And Abraham believed him. And the Bible says because Abraham believed him, God credited it to him as righteousness. Now, all he did was he was convicted that what God said was true. He believed that what God promised he could do, he could do. At this point in the process, Abraham wasn't doing anything. He just believed God. He just convicted what God said was true. He was persuaded. That's faith, to be absolutely convinced that what God said is true, even though the circumstances say no. And that's what Paul says in the scripture we read for our devotional time, that it wasn't that Abraham just accepted it automatically. Abraham, according to Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Abraham thought about it. Abraham realized he was too old to have a son. Abraham realized his wife's body was too old to have a son. But Abraham knew God could do what God said he was going to do. And so he believed him. And it was credited to him as righteousness. He was considered by God as being righteous. If you have a MasterCard account and they credit you with $1,000, what does that mean? You owe $1,000 less than you owed before, okay? They credited you with, and I took accounting one time, but I failed out, so you had to watch me on accounting stuff. But to credit something is to give credit. And God credited to him, God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Just the fact that he believed God. He didn't do anything. He just believed God. He trusted God. He was persuaded that what God said he would do, God would do. And God credited to him as righteousness. Now, we could talk a lot about the fact the same thing applies to us as we trust in Jesus Christ. That God says, if you trust in me, if you put your faith in Jesus, I'm going to wash your sins away. And if we believe that, God credits us with us having not any sins. They're gone. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's conviction. That's conviction. Romans chapter 4, the scripture we read a little bit ago, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Now, as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Knowing, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. What God said he was going to do, Abraham believed he was going to do. He was convicted. He was convicted of something not yet seen. Remember Hebrews 11:1? He was convicted of something not yet seen. His wife was not pregnant at the time. In fact, it was 10 years or more later before she became pregnant. But he believed it. And because he believed it, God credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. That is conviction. And that's what we need to have, conviction, that what God says he's going to do, he's going to do. What God says he's going to do, he's going to do. That's what faith is. And faith is an absolute requirement. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to God must believe. Must believe. It is a requirement. But faith also includes a commitment. Faith also includes a commitment, not just a conviction. Not just head belief, but a commitment that it makes a difference in my life. Matthew 7:21 says, and Jesus was speaking, said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So faith, if I believe God, it requires a commitment on my part. It requires a difference in my life. If someone comes in this building, come to the back door right now, and says, your church is on fire, I could sit here and figure out which one of you believed him. I wouldn't, but I could. If he come in the door and said the church is on fire, what would happen? We'd leave. Why would we leave? Because we believed him. If we didn't believe him, we'd stay in here, right? And people argue about faith. It's, no, you got to have faith. Just faith. It's no works. It's no action. No, faith always results in something. While God credited Abraham with righteousness before he did anything, the same faith would cause Abraham to do a lot of stuff. Abraham left Ur of Chaldees because of faith, according to Hebrews 11, right? The same faith, God could read his heart. God knew he really believed him, and he credited that for righteousness. But that same faith caused him to act. He made a commitment that I'm going to do what God says do simply because God said do it. So faith is a commitment, not just a head belief, but is a commitment of my life, that I am committed to doing what he says I should do. He made a commitment. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. And he, that meaning Jesus, and he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now, that's a commitment. He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You just need to put Jesus first. You need to say, He's in charge. I'm gonna get off of the throne of my heart. I'm going to put Jesus on the throne. I'm going to let him rule my life. I'm going to let him be in charge. And that's a part of what faith is, that I give him control. Somebody comes in and said, the building's on fire, and you said, I don't believe that. I'm going to stay right here. Even more foolish is to say, I believe him, but I'm still going to stay right here. Isn't that silly? And people tell me, occasionally I'm talking to them about, well, I believe what God says, but I'm just not going to do that. I don't think I need to do that. I believe what he said is true, but I'm not going to do it. No, if I believe him, I'll do it. It's just a part of faith. It's just a natural outgrowth. If I have faith in him, it is a commitment of my life. It is a commitment of my life. So faith is conviction, commitment, and third, conduct. A conviction that something is true, a commitment of my life to that, and it affects my conduct. James 2:26 says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. It is difficult medically. I've lived through them trying to figure out when is a person dead. You know, used to, if your heart stopped beating, you were dead. That's, you always check the pulse and see whether they're still living or not. And then they kind of changed that to if the brain waves, they still got brain waves. And the doctors, the last time I checked, the doctors would say, even if the heart's still beating, if the brain, no brain waves, he's dead. So the medical field may debate a little bit about when death actually occurs. But as far as the Bible is concerned, death occurs when your spirit separates from your body. That's death. When your spirit separates from your body, that's death. And just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. If it doesn't work, if there's no action, then really there's no faith. If the person says the building's on fire and you don't move, then you don't believe it. You can sit there and tell me all day long, I really believe him. I really believe what he said is true, but I'm going to stay right here. Nope, that's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is commitment to what I believe. It makes a difference in my life. It amazes me the number of people that you run across who say they believe in Jesus, and there's no outward activity. There's no show of it, whatever, none, any kind of way. I mean, they don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't give money to church. They don't attend church. They don't try to win other people to Christ. They don't do anything. And yet they say, I believe. And you say, no, you don't. You just don't believe. If there's no outward activity, if you're not made a commitment, it's not biblical faith. If you have faith, it will make a difference in your life. There is a commitment to biblical faith. Faith without works is dead. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul is recounting their becoming a Christian. And here's what he says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, when was that? When were you a slave of sin? Before you became a Christian. Okay? You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. In other words, you obeyed the gospel plan of salvation. You believed in Jesus. You repented of your sins. You confessed Him publicly, and you were baptized into Him. You became obedient from the heart. And I like that phrase because it is possible to just be obedient and not be from the heart, right? And some people claim you can have it in your heart and not really do it. I don't think that's true, but some people claim, well, in my heart, I really am. I really believe Him. I'm just not going to do it. I think if you really believe in your heart, you're going to do it, right? It's going to make a difference in your life. It's going to change your conduct. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you can go do what you want to. What does the text say? You became slaves of righteousness. In other words, according to this text, you got to be a slave. You can just choose who's your master going to be. That's all. You're going to be a slave to something. But you can choose who you're going to be a slave to. You got free will that far, but you're going to be a slave. You're a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. You're a slave to Satan or a slave to God. You're a slave to self or a slave to Jesus, one or the other. And you get to choose. You get to choose. And this conduct, this lifestyle, this action has to do with faith. Now, I probably need to say my works doesn't save me. Just because my faith works doesn't mean my work saves me. What saves me? My faith. Jesus. And I remember reading a story a number of years ago of a college professor. He was a professor at a Christian college and taught theology. And he'd have people over to his house and they'd talk theology, all this deep stuff, you know. And I had a lady that cleaned his house. And she was there a lot of time, and she was a Christian. Uneducated person, didn't have very much education, but she was a strong Christian. And she would sometimes just stand by the door type thing and listen to them talk about theology because she loved the Lord. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And she didn't understand all they were talking about, but they were talking about the Bible, and she loved the Bible, and she just listened to them. The professor who hired her, who knew her, he knew she had a strong faith, and he admired her for a strong faith, you know. And one day he just asked her, he said, "Man, how did you get such a strong faith? How did you get such a strong faith?" Because she'd been working for him a number of years. And he'd seen her go through a number of things, and her faith was strong. In the good times it was strong. In the bad times it was strong. I mean, she had a strong faith, and so he just asked her. You know, how did you get such a strong faith? And she said, well, I really don't have a strong faith. I just have a faith in a strong Jesus. I just have a faith in a strong Jesus. Now, you ought to have strong faith. Not saying you shouldn't. But the real power of your faith is in who it's in. Not how strong your faith is, but who you put your faith in. Okay. The story is told of a preacher, and he had a small son, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old, And because he was a preacher, there was always faith stuff going on in his house, you know. He was always talking about Jesus and always promoting Bible reading and all that stuff. And so one day he was out playing in the yard, the little boy was, and they called him in to eat supper. And the mom said, "You got to go wash your hands. There's germs on your hands. Outside, you've been outside playing. There's germs on your hands. Go wash your hands." And the little boy didn't want to wash his hands. He wanted to just go on and eat supper. Some of you have been through this. You know what I'm talking about. They don't want to wash their hands. And if you get them to wash their hands, they just run it under water and come on. But the mama said, "There's germs on your hand. There's germs everywhere. You got to wash. You got to wash your hand before you eat." And the little boy, a little mumble to himself, and said, "All I ever hear about in this house is Jesus and germs, and I've never seen either one of them. All I ever hear about is Jesus and germs, and I've never seen either one of them." You see, it takes faith to believe in Jesus. I've never seen him. Never seen him. But the Bible says faith is not an option. Faith is not an option. It is an absolute requirement. I must believe. I must believe. And faith involves conviction. It involves commitment. And it involves conduct. And all three are involved in faith. All three are involved in faith. Sometimes the Bible emphasizes one. Sometimes the Bible emphasizes the other one. You ever heard anybody debate about the difference in Paul's view of faith and James' view of faith? It was the same thing. Same faith. They just, one was emphasizing one aspect of it, and one was emphasizing the other. That's all. It's the same faith. Paul talks about in chapter 1 of Romans and chapter 16 of Romans the obedience of faith. Paul wrote, how many of the books in the New Testament Paul write? 13, 14, whatever it was. In almost every one of them, Paul talks about, in the first half, he talks about what I believe. Guess what he talks about in the last half? How I behave. And he was always talking about faith. Both places. The first half of the book and the last half of the book. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 talks about faith, which you ought to believe. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 talks about how you ought to behave. So there's no disagreement between Paul and James. Faith just involves a conviction that something is absolutely true, a commitment to that conviction, and a conduct that results from that conviction. If I believe the person's statement that the building's on fire, I just move. I don't argue about whether, well, I really believe it, but I'm not going to move. If I believe him, I just leave. And if I read the Bible and the Bible says, Jesus said, do this, then I just do it. I just do it. You know, ain't no telling how many arguments I've been in with people about baptism. And one of the reasons that people argue about baptism is because I can't give them a logical reason why they should be baptized. The only reason I can give them is God said so. That's it. I mean, I know there's no magic in the water. There's nothing that happens there. You know, there's nothing special about the water. There's nothing special about who baptizes you. It's just a fact that God said do it. And if I show a person a passage of Scripture in which Jesus said you need to be baptized, and the person tells me, well, I believe Jesus, but I'm not going to do it, then he's lying. Don't you think so? If he doesn't do it, he doesn't believe him. He can say he believes him, but he doesn't. Because faith involves a conviction that that's true, a commitment to what I believe, and faith involves the conduct that results as a result of my conviction. So faith involves conviction, commitment, and conduct. All three. That's what faith is. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith. Conviction, commitment, and conduct. All three are involved. As you read the Bible, sometimes the verses emphasize one of them, sometimes the verses emphasize the other one, but all three are always involved in faith. If I have faith and I'm convicted that this thing is true, I'm persuaded this is true, I'm committed to what I believe. And my conduct would just automatically follow. I'll just act on my faith. Don't be like the little boy that says, all I ever hear about is germs and Jesus, and I've never seen either one. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you convicted that He really is who He said He is? Are you committed to Him because of that faith? Does your conduct show that you're convicted? If you're not a Christian, you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ by putting your faith in Him. And as a result of that faith, you repent of your sins, you confess Him publicly, and you're baptized into Him by immersion, the same way He was baptized, raised to walk in a new kind of life. You need to make that decision. We encourage you to make it now.